Hello, this is Joel and
Danielle
Young with For His Glory Ministry. We welcome you today. We're teaching on who we are, created in the image of God. This is part two of a three-part series, and this section we'll be teaching on consecrated. Who we are, created in the image of God, consecrated. Part one was on crucified, the crucified life. Part two, we're teaching today on consecrated. And part three will be on crowned. Now, this is the second, then, of a three-part series of who we are created in the image of God, and we'll focus on our consecration. What is consecration? How do you do it? How do you walk it? And how do you be it? Now, do we know what consecration is? Consecration is, in its essential aspect, a separation unto God. You must be separated unto God. For to the degree we're not separated unto God, we're separated then from God. And if we're not set apart unto God, we're set apart from God. And to the degree that you are still set apart from God, you're still clutching onto that which is not God, and that's not good. Okay?
Joel, is consecration similar to holy? Because holy is the idea that we're separated also.
Right.
Kept, you know, holy is a separation to God.
Yes, exactly. They actually come from the same Hebrew word. So that's why, although in English we don't quite get that, when you go back to the original, you can see the common root between the two. That's a good question. Let's develop the answer then for us. Let's go first to Exodus 28, verses 2 and 3, and we'll focus on verse 3. This is the first reference in the Bible to it, so that should grab our attention. It sets the pace of understanding. It's what we call the Aleph, or the first reference, Aleph being a Hebrew letter. And the Bible says, "And you shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother, for glory and for beauty. And you shall speak to all who are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with a spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister to me as priest." Notice that it is you, man, here. Moses is instructed he has to make for his brother holy garments, right? It says, "And you shall make holy garments for Aaron, your brother." All right? So note that unless it is you personally who are called, pay special attention to the Holy Spirit's choice of whom he'll fill with the spirit of wisdom. In the Bible, these are the wise-hearted ones. And as a leader, tell them what God has told you to tell them. It will advance them into their calling and apply their gifting in service for others unto God Almighty. Now remember, what are those holy garments for? They're for glory and for beauty. A lot of times people have just forgotten who they are in God. You know, they walk around like king's kids in rags. And these holy garments that God makes are to separate us for glory and for beauty. God thinks highly of us. Do you remember what we talked about in Psalms, Danielle? God said he created us a little lower than
God.
A little lower than God.
God,
right. Now,
yes.
Some translations you've heard of translate that as a little lower than
angels.
Exactly, but that's a wrong translation.
Yes.
It's Elohim. So it says God created us a little lower than
God.
He made us a little lower than himself. In order to have fellowship with him, relate to him, walk with him, he made us as close as obviously possible in his divine estimation to have perfect fellowship with us, yet we are not God. We're made in the image and likeness, though, of God. All right? Now, yes.
I still don't understand the difference between consecration and holiness.
Good.
Can you clear that up?
Sure. That'll develop. Let's give some background, and then we're going to go right to the Hebrew text for that. That'll help. Let's consider this right now. Now, the culminating purposes of the garments was for what? And we're back in Exodus 28. Quote, "that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister to me as priest." So there's the word you're asking about, consecration. The garments are for what? They are for his consecration. They're made specifically for him. Now, this consecration we'll look at in Hebrew, which is the original language. We could see it then, Danielle, in its fullest meaning. The term in Hebrew is based on the same Hebrew word for holy, okay? The Hebrew word is kadosh, one word. Again, say it with me.
Kadosh.
Kadosh. Perfect. It's like K-A-D-O-S-H, kadosh. Now, the word for consecration is based on the same Hebrew word for holy, and that word for holy is kadosh. So the consecration being set apart, that sanctification, consecration, all has to do with being holy. So consecration, another term I didn't mention, sanctification, and holy. In English, they're three separate words.
Right.
In Hebrew, they come from the same like trunk of a tree.
Right.
So they may have different branches, but they're all being fed by the same root, and it's the same Hebrew word origin. So kadosh. So in your mind, you want to think holy, consecrated, sanctified. Exactly. All come from which Hebrew word?
Kadosh.
Perfect. Kadosh. Exactly. Now we're told to be holy, to walk holy, and to grow in holiness. All right? God made in Genesis 2:3, then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his works which God has created and made. All right? The seventh day was then what? Same principle. Set apart. It was consecrated. Therefore, it was made
holy.
Perfect. Holy by God. Man worked for 6 days. The seventh day is a day of rest where we cease from activity. So the term rest here, cease, is the word from where we get the word Sabbath, Shabbat. Shabbat is the same as Sabbath, all right? That's a day of rest. Now, God has set that apart to rest, to cease from activities and be dedicated unto the Lord. It's interesting that there was someone who did a study on humans, on work efficiencies for the human body. And with all his careful research, he came to the same conclusion that God already has spoken about in the Bible. From a non-biblical point of view, but he came to the same truth, because truth is true all the way through, that the best work schedule for a human being is to work 6 days and rest the seventh. Isn't that interesting? We already had that truth in the Bible. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, the Lord rested on the seventh day, and then we come to another area. In Hebrews chapter 4, culminating in verses 9 and 10, consequently, there's a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who enters into his rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Now, let's come back to the word holy, because we need to know how to do this here. First, Leviticus 11:44, and let the Bible speak for itself. For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore consecrate yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Okay? Now, what did you hear? You heard the word, for I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore consecrate
yourself.
Exactly. Consecrate who?
Yourself.
Exactly. Yourself. So, something we have to do. And you shall be
holy.
Holy. Exactly. Why? Because God says, for I am holy. So we have consecrate ourselves, and we are told to be holy, all right? So again, to address the matter of one's consecration, it would be and is to what end? Why be consecrated? Remember we had the first reference earlier with Moses and Aaron? God says, in order that we may minister to the Lord as his priest and his priestesses, as his priests and his priestesses, it is a requirement of God's people. We're not just saved to go to heaven. We're saved in order for relationship with God and to help bring heaven on earth. Let's look at the Our Father with that respect. That's the prayer that Jesus taught us how to pray when the apostles asked him, how do we pray? Let's do the first part together, Danielle.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven.
Perfect. Thank you. So the pattern is, of course, heavenly. Everything starts in the heavens. Its template is heavenly. Moses was told the same. He was told in building the tabernacle in the wilderness to build and do everything according to the pattern that he saw on the mount. That's on the mount with God. So all the patterns start in the heaven, and the goal is to bring it to earth. Now, let's focus on the term holy that you asked me about earlier. I'm going to give you several references. Just sit back, everyone, and listen to them. And every time you hear the word holy, let your mind pay strict attention to it. And then we can develop it in the Hebrew right after that. In Leviticus 19:1 and 2, quote, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say to them, You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." In Ephesians 1:4, "Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." 1 Peter 1:15-16, "But he who called you is holy. You also be holy in all conduct, because it is written, Be holy, for I am holy." Unquote. Now remember, that quotes back to the first one we just did, and we gave you that as the third reference. So here's the point. We need to know, how do we, like you asked earlier, what is holy, and here, how do we be holy in all our behavior, our conduct, in being separated unto God? You remain separate unto God for your allotted time on earth, because we're in the world, but we're not of the world. Yes, Danielle.
We can get a clear idea of what different words mean if we know them in Hebrew,
exactly,
letter by letter. So can we do holy Hebrew in,
sure,
Hebrew, letter by letter?
Every word in Hebrew, it's a much deeper teaching, and we'll go there. Every word in Hebrew has 70 meanings. 70, that's 70. And every letter in Hebrew has 7 meanings. It's a living language. We're told in Hebrews 4:12 that the Word of God is living and active. So being living and active, we expect all the aspects of each word to be living and active. So the word kadosh, letter by letter, it's kof, dalet, vav, shin. And now we're like going into the editor's room and we're looking at it frame by frame, seeing parts that the average audience would not see, because they're seeing the whole sweep of the movie. So the word itself, holy, meant what? As consecrated or sanctified, you're set apart in all things, right?
Right.
And unto, set apart from, and also set apart to, apart from the world and unto God, exactly. So kadosh means the final door of man is destroyed. Also, the least door of man is destroyed. It's a living picture. We're looking at a living word. What does that mean? How do I do holy? So I'm commanded, as we all are, to be holy. Great. How do I do that is the question. In all my behavior, yes, I'm to be set apart. How do I do that? Okay? Apart from and apart to. I am by active choice, willful decision, with emotional allegiance, to look at every final door that man has set up and destroy it. What does that mean? What's a door? What is a door? A door
separates.
Good. What?
Divides.
Divides, good. It separates or divides one thing from another. So in John 17, which is the Lord's Prayer, you see the common central theme is unity. Unity with Jesus as Jesus is with the Father. That means all becomes
one.
Exactly. But division implies separation. The purpose of being holy is to destroy all division. Every wall that separates, every thought that separates, everything that separates, so we are free unto God and separated therefrom the things that have enslaved us. Make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Now, there are three spheres of application. What are our three spheres of application? We have our relationship with
God.
Exactly. That's our vertical relationship, our relationship with God. Two, our relationship with
ourselves.
Perfect. Relationship with ourselves. And three, our relationship
with others.
Exactly. So what are the three again? Our relationship with
God.
Good.
Ourselves.
Ourselves.
And
two.
Others.
And others. Three. So if we're to be holy then in all our behavior, I need to find out in all three spheres, what are those final or least, it's really both, every least door or veil or separation that I or others have set up, or even the enemy has schemed and set up, that divides me, one from
God.
Two, everything that I've set up in my own mind and games and schemes and plans, whether it's willful or just inadvertent behavior and things, but in my mind they become like strongholds or footholds or separations that I'm not free in my own thinking. I have to then apply the word kadosh to my
mind.
Exactly, to my mind, to myself. And three, any walls or divisions or separations that I have with other people, because that division would then separate me from them instead of loving them.
How does that apply to ourselves? Separation from ourselves? I don't understand that.
All right. Think about what the central point is in the prayer. We are to what? First, we're to love God and then our neighbor as ourself. And that's a reference you should look for. That is in Mark 12:28-34. Mark 12:28-34. It's the same theme. Very few people love themselves.
Right.
Very few people like themselves.
That's true.
Very few people accept themselves. Very few people know themselves. Very few people examine themselves. The unexamined life, as one ancient philosopher put it once, and he said it well, the unexamined life is not worth living. And as a Christian scholar put it once, and I was Socrates in a former, the Christian scholar in like manner put it once this way, the unexamined belief is not worth believing. The unexamined belief is not worth believing. We have a lot of stuff in our head and our heart that are just wreaking havoc. It's like a house. Just picture your mind and heart as a house. And we got all kinds of things there in closets and storage that we're not using our house fully. We're only living in little pieces of the house. The windows and blinds are down. We're blinded from receiving the light. We're separate from the full use of our house. Therefore, we're not unified in our own thinking. And if we're not holy, then what would be the opposite of holy? Unholy?
Unholy.
So if it's unholy, then what is that telling you? There's a...
a door.
A separation.
A veil. Separation.
Exactly. It's therefore, we're not in touch with ourselves. A wall. We have walls in our own thinking. And those walls separate us from us.
Right.
There are very few people who have taken the time to know themselves, to understand themselves, to deal with themselves in a godly way. And then they become a prisoner of themselves. There's a statement that was said once that the heaviest chains are the ones with which we enslave ourselves. And we become a prisoner of a certain pattern of thinking and or behavior. Sometimes you see somebody involved in the same destructive relationship, three or four people or three or four marriages down the line. They've never dealt with issues. They've never addressed those. There are unholy behaviors in their mind and in their thinking. If it's unholy, it's not holy.
Right.
Therefore, they have shut themselves in. And to the degree they have, they also shut themselves out from others because it's difficult to give what you don't have. So if we haven't loved ourselves and dealt with ourselves, what happens then in our next relationship, which was the third one, with other people?
And God, right?
Exactly. So we'll address all three. But let's first, since we're on a vertical and human level, if I don't deal with my own issues, then how am I going to even take the time to deal with another person who is not me?
Right.
So, therefore, my behavior then separates me from another person, even if that's a spouse or child that's living in the same house for 20 years.
Right.
So the consecrated life is the holy life. It's the sanctified life. It helps us define and refine so we could shine who we are created in the image of God. So first, I have to love God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, and understand also how God loves me and get God's view of me. I don't need self-esteem. I need God esteem. And when I find out what God thinks about me, I can use that then to destroy, kadosh, the final door of man will become destroyed with the power of God.
The veils are destroyed.
Exactly. And that's how you do holy. Mm-hmm. Every veil, every door, every wall, that's how you be holy in all your behavior. Because God is holy. God is perfectly free.
Right.
There's no doors, walls, veils, anything within and in of God. God wants his people to be free, and the Lord is a spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Without freedom, there's bondage. So if we're not free
yes.
with God, then we have the wrong view of God. Number two, we'll have the wrong view of us. Number three, we'll have the wrong view of others, and we'll become a prisoner of our own thinking, wrong thinking of our own heart, our misguided heart. And how then could we love other people? And then what happens to unity?
Right.
There's disunity. What happens to harmony? There's no harmony. So to be holy is a requirement in order to know exactly how then to apply, or I should say to be able to apply everything else that God has given us there. So we have to look and examine all those details in detail and to be holy in all our behavior as God is. Then we could love God, love ourselves, and love others in a way Christ has meant us to be, because that is defining and helping us understand who we are, created in the image of God.
So, Joel, I guess this is how I do holy for myself?
Yes, this is a good question, and let's develop that a little bit more. This is for me and myself, right? How do I do holy? Now, remember, in applying holy in all our behavior, the holy is going to what? Destroy the doors. You just figure there's a door there. That's got to come down. All right? It's like a Jericho. You got to bring that wall down.
Destroy the veils.
The veils, the walls, the doors. And let's put that in practical terms. That may be an issue, maybe a thought, maybe a belief system. Somebody may have an issue, let's take it for one, between male and female. Okay? We had done a tape series on women, which is excellent and well-referenced and well-studied, showing the quality of male and female in God, in His design, period. What it was, what it is, what it will be. And when we understand how there's a very pervasive prejudice between some ways that some men at times, unfortunately, look at women, or women at men, and there are these power plays and struggles for identity. These are issues. There's no freedom there. There's no freedom there between the male and female in relationship there. Therefore, there are all these, if you will, games that people play. And to the degree there are issues, those issues, I want you to think of them like doors. All right? To the degree there are issues or doors, it is not holy. The same thing also happens with skin color. Someone's a different race or a nation or a different economic strata or a different clothing. Some people are very prejudice because someone else has what they don't have. They've also done this for nations where people, unfortunately, are very jealous at times of America, for example, of being a blessed nation. But God has said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. The blessings of God are not few. The blessings of God are in abundance, and He's most generous in His giving. So we have a blessed nation because there are people here who have given lives, their heart and soul, and living consecrated wholly unto God and in very selflessly taking resources that America has and giving it to the world and just tremendous openness. And that is when they're open and holy, then they could be loving. Sometimes this is with issues of wrong words. People have issues with thoughts. They have all types of thoughts in their mind that may have been instilled in there from, unfortunately, sometimes possibly parents or teachers or friends who are not friends or something they've read. And instead of discriminating and checking out what they're bringing into their house, they've signed for it and brought this in and put that piece of furniture in such a place it's an obstruction. Yes, Danielle.
In other words, believing the lie is unholy.
Exactly, because the lie then becomes a wall or a separation that separates them from three. One from God, two from themselves, and three from others. It's a three-pronged attack. It's supposed to be working for us for freedom, not for failure. Yes.
So holiness means we have to believe what God says about us.
Exactly.
Instead of the lie.
Exactly. And therefore, as God's people, we should study and memorize and do the Word of God in every way. Sometimes, also a quick point, in sickness. Some people are afraid to touch and deal with someone who is sick and someone who's hurting. And they're afraid to touch that person's infirmities. Therefore, they pray at them instead of for them and with them. They don't embrace them, and a person becomes more and more separate because they don't feel the touch of a heart or a soul or a kind word. So being holy in every respect allows us to be the Christian in every respect that we're supposed to be, that God could be seen, who's in us, the hope of glory, and known and believed and loved by all men. So be holy in all your behavior. And they all said,
Amen. Amen.